Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God, our Heavenly Father, and Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, when I started working for Walt Disney World, I got a name tag. To many, it would be no big deal at all, but to this Disney fan, it was a huge deal. It had my name on it, B-R-E-N-T, Brent, that's me. Having that little piece of plastic proved that I worked at Disney. It proved that I was a cast member. Now, it was the law of the land to wear a name tag at all times. Just like our Redeemer, right, Pam Wilson? Everybody wears their name tags at all times. So one day, I could not find my name tag. And instead of getting in trouble, I went to costuming and I got another name tag. I wore a name tag that said, Chris. All day long, I had to answer to Chris. All day long, I had to remember that I was Chris. There I was, pretending to be someone I was not. The pious patriarch Job wore a name tag too. It said, innocence and ignorance. Job seemed to know about Adam and Noah and the flood, yet he was silent on the covenant of Abraham, Israel, the Exodus, and the law of Moses. These cultural and historic figures appear to place the events of Job's life right after the Tower of Babel and right before Abraham, making it the most ancient book in the Bible. Job opens with a scene in heaven where Satan comes to accuse Job before God. He insists that Job only serves God because God protects him. And he seeks God's permission to test Job's faith and loyalty. God so grants his permission, only with a few certain boundaries. Why do the righteous suffer? This is the question raised after Job's three friends, after he loses his family, his wealth, and his health. His three friends raise this question. His three friends, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar. You see, they come to comfort Job and to discuss his crushing tragedies. And they insist that his suffering is punishment for sin in his life. Job, though, remains devoted to God through all of this, and he contends that his life has not been one of sin. Job says, "My doctrine is pure, and I am clean in God's eyes." You see, Job wore a name tag that said, innocent and ignorance. Ever since our first parents fell into sin in the Garden of Eden, sin has been very much a part of our experiences. Sin has brought with it consequences, misunderstandings, troubles, grief, pain, sickness, and death. All of us, as sinners, are inclined to be judgmental and to point our fingers at others, as did the three friends of Job. Like them, we may be tempted to draw the conclusion that great suffering is a direct consequence of some special sin, which is not necessarily the case. All of us are tempted to make ourselves look better by making others look worse. And while it's often true that a person who commits a certain sin may have to suffer the consequences, for example, a drunken driver who has an accident or maims or kills himself has to suffer the consequences, it is also true that God uses troubles and afflictions to test and to strengthen the faith of Christians. That was pointed out by the young man named Elihu, who spoke after Job's three friends had stopped speaking. He tells Job that he needs to humble himself and submit to God's use of trials and purify his life. For Christians today, as well as for Old Testament believers, the afflictions that God permits us to endure are not punishments. They're not punishments, but a wholesome chastisement, a disciplining exercise to strengthen our faith. You see, sin runs rampant in this world. All things and all people suffer decay in our sin-broken world. The life and work of every person ends in ashes, dust, and ruins. The prophet Job sat in ashes and dust for 7 days. Neither mourning nor the wisdom of his friends offered comfort. So Job says, "I will speak to El Shaddai, God Almighty, and I desire to argue my case with my God." And finally, Job questions God himself, and he learns a valuable lesson about the sovereignty of God. That's the key word for the book of Job, sovereignty. God is in control of all things. Sovereignty, and Job needs to totally trust in the Lord. Despite Job's insight and legendary patience, he does sin. He sins by attempting to justify himself in his final appeal, to which God says, "Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me, if you have understanding." Notice the sarcasm that is dripping off of God's tongue. "Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy." Now, Job's name tag no longer says innocence and ignorance. It now says sinner. There Job was, pretending to be someone he was not. "As I once pretended to be Chris, Job, the pious patriarch, pretended to be innocent and pure, ignorant. Instead, wear your name tag like this truck." Once we were eating at one of my favorite beachfront restaurants in St. Augustine, Florida, called the World Famous Oasis. And when we came out of the restaurant, there was this truck that caught my eye. It was a big truck, big wheels, macho manly stickers on the windshield. But that's not what caught my attention that day. It was the license plate. It said, "Sinner." And that is right. We are all sinners. You see, we are no different. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. Study the law, and you will quickly see that we fail miserably. Understand the Ten Commandments, and you will see that we have broken them all over and over and over again. For we are no different than Job. We wear a name tag that says sinner. So after the Lord confronts Job, Job puts into practice what he had earlier confessed. He repents. He repents in dust and ashes, and he receives the Lord's redemption. Sinners repent. And so we repent. At the beginning of this service, we cried out, "Almighty God, El Shaddai in Hebrew, have mercy on us." Forgive our sins and lead us to everlasting life. Sinners, repent. And more than repenting, Job confesses faith in a Redeemer, that the Lord is his Savior. Job says, "For I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will stand upon the earth, and after my skin has thus been destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. My heart faints within me." Job knows the truth that we too know. The truth that each Easter knows. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
And because our Lord is risen, we are redeemed. So our name tag doesn't just say sinner, but it also says redeemed. You might not realize it, but you wear a name tag every single day. And like Job, many times you want yours to say innocent and ignorant. For when we talk to our friends, we talk and we even claim that we are good people. And we pretend to be something we aren't. But it's so much better to be a sinner and to be redeemed. And so I ask, who are you? I pray you answer, a sinner and redeemed. And I ask, who is God? He's El Shaddai, God Almighty, our sovereign Lord, who calls people to repentance and redeems them. You might say Jesus is our Redeemer, a good name to the people of this church. Jesus, we're sinners that he redeems. Amen. As followers of Christ, keep loving one another earnestly and show hospitality to one another without grumbling. Amen.